you're listening to Beauty Within Podcast. So first of all, I want to introduce my good friend, Sarah McCuller.
Hello.
She's on with me this week, and we are talking about, we're going to talk about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. We're going to start out, I know I posted on the Instagram page about singleness, and I had a few questions submitted, so we're going to kind of go over some of those. But I do want to preference this entire podcast by saying that the things that we say is not advice that we're giving you. Right. So you single ladies out there, don't take the words we say to heart and just run with it. Like, we don't know your lives, so it could be completely different than ours. So basically, we are just giving you our experience.
Right.
Yeah. So first of all, I'm going to have Sister Sarah introduce herself and talk a little bit about.
Yeah. My name's Sarah McCuller. Obviously. I attend Bethel United Apostolic Church in Olive Branch, Mississippi with Cherie. I have been apostolic. We were just talking about it. I've been apostolic for 9 years now, going on 10 years. And it has been the best decision I've ever made in my entire life. I'm a praise singer at our church, leading worship, and I'm part of our outreach team. And there's just some amazing things going on at Bethel. And I'm so happy to be a part. I'm also happily single. I feel like it's important to mention the happily in there, but happily single. So I feel like that's a good, I think I'm a good person to help discuss this topic tonight.
Yeah. So referencing back, we did get a lot of questions in on our Instagram story. Sorry, lost my train of thought. So first of all was, how to prepare myself for a future husband. So I'm just going to start with this subject. And I'd like to refer to my previous podcast when I spoke about the time I asked a question to, a panel of ministers and ministers' wives. My question was basically, how do I build a ministry if I don't have my husband yet? And the minister's wife answered me in a very simple way. She told me that it's not when God gives me a husband, it's if, because he may not even see fit. And I know I said that in my last podcast, but it goes very well with this question. It's important to understand that when saying, God, your will be done in my life, it's laying down everything. It's not saying, you know, God, your will be in my, I want your will in my life.
Right.
And then, but I want a husband, but I want a kid, but I want this,
right.
or
like
I want this
it's
job.
It's not just related to who you want me to marry.
Right.
Like, if you want me to be single, then let that be.
And that's what, So, and it took me a long time to learn that because
it's a hard lesson to learn.
When I was like, I'd say 15 or 16, I was boy crazy. Yeah. And I'm not joking.
We all were.
just if you spoke with my best friend, Hannah, you would know for a fact, you know, she was dating her now husband then. And I was just like liking every guy I could, you know, meet. And then when I turned about 17 or 18, I was like, you know, I kind of got to get serious about this. It can't just be, you know, any boy that comes my way or looks my way. So that's when I started working on myself rather than working towards a goal of getting a husband. I'm working towards a goal of just living for God, being a godly woman.
Right. And I think that, like, sometimes people look at singleness like it's just a season in everyone's life, you know, but sometimes that's where God wants us to stay. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I wanted to say that, just because God may say, you know what, I've called you to be single, and believe it or not, I do think that is a calling. If God says, I've called you to be single, that doesn't mean that God favors those people that are married, those people that are in relationships. That doesn't mean he's favoring them over you. It just means that, well, I think it means that he sees it that you would be better off single than in a relationship. Your ministry is better single. You are a better Christian being single. And that's all that that means. It doesn't mean that there's favor with those other people and God doesn't favor you. Sometimes actually God is showing you favor by keeping you single.
Right.
For sure. Like, yeah, by keeping you out of this relationship. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Another subject or question that we got sent in was how plans change. So everyone should know that in life, mm-hmm, you know, everything could change in just a minute. So, please understand that even though you had a set plan for your life and you wanted it to go a certain way and it didn't, that also, I'm going to reference Sister Sarah, that doesn't mean God's favoring others over you.
Right.
I used to have a hard time, and I'm not going to say I don't struggle with it anymore, but my friends and my family, seeing them get engaged, graduate, mm-hmm, from college, have a baby, get, mm-hmm, married, I just, like, there were nights that I just fell apart because I just, yeah, I wanted to be there. Mm. And I didn't understand why, me personally, I couldn't get there. Everyone I know met their husbands at a young age. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I expected that for my life.
Yeah. I think, like, kind of like growing up apostolic, everyone kind of gets married young. Mm-hmm. And so, like, when I was like 18, I told myself, you know what, I'll be married at 21, mm-hmm, and I'll start having babies at 23.
That's what I
said. And, you know, and I'll tell you something, I am about to be 24 and none of the above has happened yet. But I'll tell you this, I am happy where I am.
Yeah.
And it's because I've completely surrendered all of my plans to God. And that's what we just have to do in that situation.
Yeah. So. And that is hard to do. It is hard, mm-hmm, to say, okay, God, take it. You know, it's like, for example, when loneliness settles in, that is the hardest, mm-hmm, time.
Yes.
For me personally to, you know, recognize, okay, God could be using me for another reason. You know what I mean?
And I will say this too. When you are lonely, in those times, our pastor preaches an amazing message. He preaches, all by myself. God is all. He is everything. And so when you are all by yourself, that is God with you. Take comfort in knowing that God is there with you. He is guiding your steps. It may seem like you're alone and you're lonely, but God is with you in this season of singleness, in this season of loneliness. This is a great opportunity for you to get closer to Him. Because let me tell you this, and you mentioned it in the last podcast, in the last episode, it is, if you do not have a good relationship with God, it is hard to bring in another person.
That's right.
And keep that up, yeah, that relationship with God. So.
Yes. Another question submitted was based on standards. You know, what standards should I set? What should I look for in a future spouse? And here's my issue with discussing standards, mm-hmm, and boundaries. I believe that people have different struggles in life. So boundaries for one person isn't going to be anything to another person.
Right.
For example, if I had an issue with PDA, I don't like it. Me and my boyfriend, husband, whatever, I could set those boundaries there and tell them, this is me personally. And they're going to, you know, back me up because they're wanting to be with me. However, if I'm sitting here on this podcast and I say, my standard is no PDA whatsoever, that's not good advice to give to anyone because that would be my personal problem, not yours. Does that make sense?
Right, yeah.
So standards and boundaries are fantastic to have. You need those. And by standards, I'm not talking, like you said earlier, I'm not talking about looks. I'm talking about, like, spiritual. Right. Yes. But
traits, more like.
Right.
Yeah, traits.
So they're great to have. It's great to look for something that you're going to be interested in.
Right.
But you have to set them yourself. You cannot take others. You can't. Now, I've had conversations with married women, and I believe as a single young woman, you need to have those conversations, and then you can pull from their experience. So my mom, when she met my dad, she was at her bedside every night praying on her knees to God for a husband, and she met him. That's something that I can say, okay, I need to do that when, you know, I'm serious about finding the one. She had standards of him living for God, you know. Those standards are okay to have, and it's okay to pull those from other people, but just personal boundaries can be different for everybody.
So what are some of, like, the traits that you personally look for?
Well, of course, just as an example, apostolic, so equally yoked. Another would be me personally. This is Cherie Cook. This is not whoever is listening. This is not Sister Sarah. This is me. I would love to work within the ministry, within the kingdom of God, of course. So I see myself with a minister. That does not mean God's going to send me a minister. It doesn't mean that that's who I'll end up with. But I look for people, young men, who are eager to work in the church, who put all their time and effort into the church. Because that just shows discipline, that shows respect. It shows that they have high respect for their pastor, and being from a pastor's family, seeing people who are there constantly to help, constantly to lend a hand, constantly going to the pastor, what do you need? You know, I'll do it, even if it's sweeping the floors.
Right, yeah.
I look for traits that, you know, in a guy that shows me, okay, I'm doing this not for me to look right or not for people to look at me, but because of God, because I have respect for my pastor, because I have respect for the kingdom of God. That's some of the traits I look for.
Yeah.
But tell me a little bit about your traits.
Well, I'm one of those, I don't, I take notes on everything, and I actually wrote these down and put some prayer into this before. I mean, like, I obviously was looking for these things. I just never, like, put it out in words, you know? So this actually helped me a lot, too. But some traits that I look for, number one, first and foremost, is a strong prayer life. Like, you have to know how to pray. Not only, you know, to touch the throne room in an instant, but know how to pray over me. Because there will be times, like, if you are married to someone, that you're going to need prayer. And I want to be married to somebody that can lay their hands on me and say, in Jesus' name, you know, that that's right. She's going to be healed.
Yeah.
And so that's the first thing I look for. And the second thing, I want someone who worships with, I mean, everything that they have.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing makes me more, I don't want to say angry, but it just gets on my nerves when I see someone in the middle of an amazing church service and they're sitting down in their pew, not moving.
Right.
That bothers me so, so much. And I want my husband to be a worshiper because I want my children to be worshipers. I'm a worshiper. And so I want my kids to see us both worshiping and be like, well, mom and dad, they're worshiping. So that's what we need to do, you know? My third one, and this sounds kind of crazy, but emotionally mature. It's that, and not just like, because not saying, you know, you'll cry with me. I honestly don't want somebody that's going to be crying more than me. That's not a good idea because I am the emotional one. So please don't be crying more than me. But respect my emotions is what that means.
Yes. And I need to add on to that. Women are completely different than men.
Right.
My dad says this all the time. It's crazy how different we are than men. Women can be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
We have crazy emotions.
We can.
It's like a roller coaster ride all the time. And so I agree with Sarah when she says she wants a guy that can understand those.
Right. And not just emotions. Say like, not somebody that's like,
why are you crying? Mm-hmm. Like, that would probably make me cry more, right? If you ask why I'm crying.
Don't belittle me because I'm having emotions, because guess what? They're if you real. Have a daughter in the future,
mm-hmm. she's gonna have way more emotions than me, buddy. So my fourth one, just trying to move on because we could talk on that for forever. I always said I wanted somebody that was smart with their finances. Not that doesn't mean financially stable. Like, I'm not just looking for somebody with a bunch of money. That's not okay. But I'm looking for someone who understands how money works, you know, because I think that's going to make your marriage a lot easier, because financial issues is something that will come up and it's going to be difficult. So somebody who just knows how to handle their finances. Number five, I only have two more. No worries. Number five, respects the women in his life. A lot of times women don't think of this, but let me tell you, if you're dating someone who speaks down to their mother or down to their sisters, down to their grandmother, you probably don't want to date them. That's just how I'm thinking.
Yes.
Because the way they treat the women in their life shows the way they're going to treat you. It is so, so, so important. And
it's just a matter of respect. So if I'm dating a guy and he respects his mom and his sisters enough to treat them with the respect that they deserve, he's going to do the same with me. Yeah. And what girl doesn't want to feel respected?
Right. Yeah. And there, if there is a guy that you see and he is like, I don't want to say like worships the ground his mom walks on, because that might actually be too much. But if he just like treats his mom with such respect, you know, he's opening doors for her, pulling out chairs for her, stuff like this, that's probably the guy that you should be pursuing, you know? And he's going to treat you great.
If he's talks highly of his mom, you know, not just with actions, but with the way he is.
My last one, and it's so, so important, is a teachable / submissive spirit. Like, not someone who's like, I'm always right. And I mean, I know that there's going to be times in a marriage where they're like, I'm right, you're wrong, you know, and that's how it is. Not exactly that, but someone who's willing to say, you know what, yeah, I was wrong. Tell me how to better help you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the, of course, submissive, because they need to be submissive to their pastor, right, to the man of God. So those are the six traits that I look for in someone.
Now, I think with traits that I look for in a guy, it's things that I can reflect back. So I work personally on my finances, because one day I look for a guy who has been working on his finances, right, and understands it. He's mature in that aspect of his life. Another thing, respecting the people in my life, so he knows that I'm a respectful person. I just want to preference by saying, I mentioned this in my last podcast episode, I'm not a feminist.
Right.
I'm not.
Right. The man is the head of the household, for sure.
I kind of went into it very briefly, but I just want to state that I don't think that a woman can do nothing without a man. I do not think that. I mean, I have met so many godly women who just minister and they're just amazing. And they work for the kingdom of God. Do that because you have a personal relationship with God. It's not you, your husband, and then God. It's you and God first. However, I don't like the new generation of stepping on men belittling men. That's, you know, see that all over social media.
Right, yeah.
TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. You know, men is just horrible. Men are, and it's like, no.
Not all men are like that. For sure.
Exactly. Because, yeah. Okay, let's say I meet a girl who's just awful. I mean, just an awful person.
You can't judge all women off of her.
Exactly. You're not going to say all women are awful.
Yeah.
It's the same way with a man. Mm-hmm. It gets under my skin, the whole feminist thing that's happening with the world right now. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that women believing that women can do things is wrong. No, I believe we have strong women that are capable.
Right.
I don't believe that, you know, you have to be a housewife. You have to sit at home all day and cook dinner and clean house.
Which there's also nothing wrong with.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So my future, I pray to God I marry rich and I can just sit at home all day.
Same,
I mean,
I don't want to sit at home, but
it's not my forte to get up at 5 a.m. every day and go to work and then come home tired
take
and
the
have
kids
to
do, school.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a lot.
But if you do that, if you work a full-time job while your husband works a full-time job, while your children are in school, there is nothing wrong with that. I don't agree with some of the viewpoints
right.
they have.
And you mentioned, like, as a single, you know, you want to take care of your finances. For the longest, I can't even tell you how long, it's kind of embarrassing. For the longest, I thought, if I'm not financially stable, it's okay, because one day I'm going to marry this guy and he's just going to take care of everything. He's going to pay off all my debt and all this stuff. And that is not the attitude you need to have. Like, why are we like this? I don't know. But now, like within the past like year or so, I've really been getting things together and it just makes me feel so good. And I'm like, wow, I don't want to say I don't need a man. Like you said, we're not feminists, but I am happy where I'm at now because I'm taking care of things for myself. Which kind of brings me to when you're single, I heard this somewhere and I cannot remember. I was telling Cherie before we started the podcast, I can't remember where I heard this from, but if someone can tell me, then that would be great. Message me on Instagram, whatever. But it was called the 3 F's, and it's things that you should work on during your season of singleness for a woman. So the first one is faith. Obviously, that is super important. You cannot be unequally yoked. And if you do not agree in your faith, your marriage is probably not going to go nowhere. So, yeah. The second one is finance. We just spoke on that, you know, work on your finances while you're single, you know. And the third one is fitness. You know, you got to make sure that you're healthy and that you're taking care of your body. Your body is a temple. These are the three things that you should really work on during a season of singleness. Don't sit around and wait for a husband, you know. Proverbs 18:22 says, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord." So we need to be working on ourselves during our season of singleness to make sure that we are that good thing. You're not just going to be born that good thing, you know. I think people oftentimes think that, okay, when I become a wife, I'm a good thing. No, you become a good thing to become a wife.
Right. And I saw this on Facebook the other day. To be interesting, you have to have interests.
Ooh, yes.
So and I had a good friend tell me that a while back. I used to be very like, I'm a little bit of a follower, I'm going to be honest. And I don't mean that in a worldly sense.
Right,
like if someone's smoking a cigarette, I'm not going to go smoke a cigarette.
Yeah.
But what I do mean is like if a group of people are going somewhere, like within the church, and let's just say a group of people are going to meet Pueblos. I don't feel good. I don't really want to go. I'm just going to go just to be there. You know
right.
what I mean?
Like you're not the person to say, no, let's go here.
Right.
Right.
So a good friend sat me down and said, you have no interest in your life. Like you don't do anything without friends. And that was a big thing for me. I would just text my friends every night. Hey, what are you doing? Hey, what are you doing? And if they weren't doing anything, I called it a boring night. Because
right.
I didn't
like,
have
you
any
can
interest.
Do, like, yeah.
Right.
I think a lot of girls do that. That
yeah.
like you can do things on your own by yourself.
Right.
One thing I've learned to do, and some of my friends think I'm crazy for this, but I take myself out on little dates. I know that sounds like super lonely, but I enjoy it. I enjoy my alone time so much. I'm one of those people that I need to recharge after being with a lot of people. Right. Like after I've been around a bunch of people, I'm like, okay, I need to go home and have my alone time. I really enjoy alone time. And
I'm
so,
opposite. I am so opposite.
But I've started doing this thing where I just go to a restaurant by myself. And I know you're going to think I'm crazy because all of my girlfriends think I'm crazy for that. But I just really enjoy that time. Like, I go somewhere nice. I love sushi. So I go treat myself to some sushi, sit there, you know, maybe read a book or something. And I probably look so sad to other people. But let me tell you, I love it. It is great
to
for me.
That's interesting. Yeah. That makes you interesting because you are willing to do things on your own. So now, you know, I play a little bit of piano, not enough to do anything with, but I play enough to, you know, on a Friday night, instead of seeing where my friends are going, I'm inside playing the piano, singing.
Yeah, it's good to have interests.
You know, just doing things. I love calligraphy. I love painting. I love painting so much. So it's just, you have to have interests. To be interesting. Right. And then I want to go back a little bit. We were talking about, Sister Sarah mentioned how she feels happy where she's at in life. She's not, I need a man right now. You know what I mean? You're happy. But I just want to say this. It's okay to be secure in your singleness. It's okay to be happy in your singleness. But do not close doors in the midst of your singleness. Right.
Oh, I'm open to a man.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So like for Sarah and me, myself, we're secure where we are at. Right. We are not unhappy.
If God doesn't bring him along, we'll still be okay. But we wouldn't mind him bringing him along at the same time.
That's what I'm saying. So it's just important for every young girl out there that's listening to just understand it's okay to be secure where you are at in life. Mm-hmm. However, let God take you to those uncomfortable places, because when he makes you uncomfortable, he's elevating you, and that's where you need to be.
Right. And I think also I had written this down and I was going to kind of throw it in if it fit in. But if you feel like you don't have a ministry without a husband, you're wrong. I hate to like say it like that, but you are, because a lot of times we think, okay, so, well, for me, and I know for Sister Sheree, because we've talked about this several times, I always felt like I was supposed to be a minister's wife. And I was like, okay, so I'll be, you know, a youth pastor's wife or a pastor's wife. I always thought that would be my ministry, you know? So I was just waiting around for my husband, and, you know, then our ministry would start when we met each other. But no, your ministry can start right now. You have the opportunity to minister, to witness to someone every single day. And oftentimes we're so distracted by what we have going on in our personal lives that we don't see that. Like, there are people, there's a lost world out there.
That's right.
And that is your ministry right there. And let me tell you, when someone comes into the church, receives the gift of the Holy Ghost, and you had invited them, that is the best feeling in the world.
It is. Yes.
And you will feel this fulfillment that like you've never felt before. So you have a ministry still being single. You don't have to sit around and wait on your husband. Focus on that. You know, the Bible says to seek his kingdom first, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. I'll also say, we mention this all the time around here, when you seek his kingdom wholeheartedly first, your desires may change. So you may not desire a husband as much anymore, which isn't a bad thing. But in the middle of you desiring God's kingdom, he could also bring that along for you.
So it's, for me, my desires have changed tremendously over the past few years. Like I said, I was boy crazy, just, you know, a normal teenager girl.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But as I got older, I think it kind of settled in that I'm not going to be like my parents were and meet at this age and get married at this age.
But let me also say, because I remember being like a 16, 17-year-old girl, and I was desiring, you know, a boyfriend like so bad. And I was like, God, why are you not bringing this godly man along? I was 17 years old. Like, what are you talking about, Sarah? But I was so confused. But in that time, you know, my desires were so different. I wanted a boyfriend so, you know, we could hold hands and be cute and in public and stuff. And it just changes so much, because now I don't, you know, obviously want that, but I want a godly man, a husband that's going to lead me, you know. And for the young girl that's listening to this, those things that you want, they're okay to want them. It's okay to want to hold a boy's hand to, you know.
That's right.
That's okay.
It's natural.
Right. Yeah. But let me tell you too, as you get older, it's going to be like, that really does not matter at all. Like you, it's the last thing you think of. Now, when I think of having a relationship, I think of, we're going to serve God together.
Yeah.
That I don't even think about, like, I'm going to hold his hand and all this, yeah, stuff, this is like, cute stuff, or like
cute teenager girl stuff.
Right. Yeah. They're nice benefits, you know, but right. Like now I'm like, man, we're going to serve the Lord together.
We're going to, I think
about that a lot. But I also think about, like, we're going to raise kids in church together. Yes. And I pray over that too. So yeah.
All right. So, another thing, we had a question submitted, and this is pretty, it's a pretty heavy question. It says, I'm not pure, but I intend to stay abstinent until marriage from this point on. Will my potential future husband think any less of me?
Good question.
Here's the thing. Of course, I'm going to also say this is just my opinion on the matter. Right. So, you know, I'm in no shape and form trying to give advice, because, you know, I'm not in that situation. I can't tell you how you feel or, you know, the emotions you're going through. However, everyone makes mistakes.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Example, if I lie, referencing back, sin is sin.
Mm-hmm.
Every sin is equal. Okay, maybe not on earth, but through God's eyes, every sin is equal.
Yes.
So let's just say I lie, okay? And then I take it to God, I repent, I put it under the blood. Let's say I meet a future husband.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell him that I lied about this one thing. Is he going to hold that against me?
No.
No.
Sin is sin.
It's under the blood.
Right.
Okay. I'm not belittling sin. It's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Every sin is wrong. You should strive every day to be more like Jesus. However, we're human.
Yes.
And we're going to trip up. Mistakes are going to happen in life.
Right. And something else I was going to add, we kind of talked about it before too. Before I was apostolic, I cut my hair several times in my life. And I didn't see anything wrong with it in that time. I did come from a Pentecostal apostolic background. It's kind of a difficult story, but I did cut my hair. And, you know, now I do not. I haven't cut my hair since I was 13 years old. And since I've made that decision, I consider my hair uncut.
Right. It is.
You know, so if you've decided, hey, you know, I haven't always been abstinent, but I am making a choice now. I'm going to be abstinent until I find my husband. Then you're pure in God's eyes. Yes.
Because our pastor, my dad, he preached a message one time, and it just, every time, I think he's preached it like two or three times. Mm-hmm. And every time he's preached it, it brings tears to my eyes because it's just beautiful. He talks about, If he takes, let's just, for example, if he took all my sins and put them on the board in church in front of everyone, there are going to be some people in that church that say, I didn't know Cherie did this.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know Cherie went there.
Right.
And they would be in shock. But he brings it around to say, God would be standing here and saying, you know, through my eyes, she didn't go there. She didn't do
right,
this.
It's under the blood.
Where the person that submitted this question, it was completely anonymous, but I will just tell you that if there was a time in your life that you weren't pure, but you brought it to God, you put it under the blood, that means that you are, like Sister Sarah said, you're pure now. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because you've made that decision.
Right. You no longer have to be a slave to that sin. You're free.
Mm-hmm. And the devil tries to bring those things back to you.
That's right.
To try to trip you up and try to get you to fall back into that sin. Mm-hmm. He's going to say, you know what, you did this before. And you know what, they're telling you that you're forgiven. They're telling you that you're pure, but you know you're not. Don't listen to him. He's a liar. Right. The devil can't do anything but lie.
That's right.
So don't listen to him because you are pure.
Mm-hmm.
Because you made that decision. So
just because you made that decision, it doesn't mean that in the future when you meet that significant other, to me, that's important information because, mm-hmm. you know, when you're talking marriage, you're talking about becoming one.
Mm-hmm.
That's important to state, you know, this is where I was before I found God, or this is a mistake that happened.
And if they have a problem with that, then there's something wrong with them. Because if they don't believe in God's forgiveness, then that's right. That's not okay.
They're overlooking his grace.
Right.
And who are they to overlook God's grace?
Right.
So if you know, if you've fallen or if you've had a time of impurity, you've taken it to Jesus, put it under the blood. It's done. It's mm-hmm. over with. You're free from that sin.
Yes.
You don't even have to think about it another day of your life.
Right.
Even when the devil tries to bring it up. You just say, I rebuke you in Jesus' name.
And he will try to.
Because exactly.
Whatever your weaknesses are, he sees them. And whatever your weaknesses are, and you make them known to the devil, he sees them. And he can use those against you, and he will use those against you. I have friends, just as an example, who have done drugs in their life. And they have repented. They haven't done drugs ever since, you know, for years they haven't done drugs. But sometimes they'll be out in public and they'll smell it. And it makes them want to go back to that sin, you know. So you will always be, whatever your weakness is, you will always be tempted with that. But you can say, you know what, no devil, I have power in Jesus' name. I have mm-hmm. power over you.
Yep.
I'm not falling back into that sin.
Something my dad has preached before, and he said it just a couple Sundays ago. He was speaking to the young people, and he said, please take my advice when I say,
mm-hmm. yes,
if you go out into the world and you try certain things, you will fight that every day of your life from that point
every
on.
Day.
There's not a time that you won't have to fight that. So take that and understand, mm-hmm. you know, if you deal with peer pressure, understand that smoking that cigarette for the first time could alter your entire life.
Yes.
In a terrible way.
Yes.
Drinking that drink for the first time.
It's not worth it.
It's not worth it. So just understand, young person, whoever you are out there listening, understand that your actions within this world can have long-lasting effects on you.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that you can't overcome that. So if you've been there and you've done that and you fight it every day, then that's God working through you every day, and you're choosing, hey, I'm not going to go back to that life. And right. that is a testimony. Right. That is a true testimony. But like I said in my other podcast episode, it's also a testimony to say, I've never been there. I've never
yes.
done that.
Yes.
I've stayed pure. I've stayed this. And I'm basically talking to every audience member, listener out there. It's not worth it to go out there and do those things. However, if you've been out there and you've done those things, you've put it under the blood, you're forgiven, you're no longer a slave to that sin, you're free.
Right.
So that means get up every day.
Yes.
Live for God.
Yes. I feel the Holy Ghost
yes,
in here.
Yes, I got chills.
Goodness.
Okay, so another question we got asked was, how do I pray for a future spouse? This is a big one. This is huge. Mm-hmm. Praying for a future spouse, it's a hard one also because it's like, what specific things
right.
do I, and I've, yeah. I've struggled with that. What specific things yeah. do I need to pray for?
Something I do, and I mean, this has been kind of recently, within like the last 6 months or so. I've kind of started to implement this in my prayer time. Whenever I think about praying for my future husband, it's very easy to remember. But what I do is past, present, future. Past, present, future. First of all, I pray, God, whatever it is that has happened in his past, I pray that you help him move on. Not only if it was a bad thing, but even if it was a really good thing, because sometimes we get stuck on what we did for God that was such a good thing. And we said, you know what? I did this and seven people received the Holy Ghost. I preached mm-hmm. this message and it was amazing.
Yeah.
You need to move on from that. You know, I pray for him in that way. And then I pray for him in the present, you know, God, wherever my husband is that I'm going to marry, I pray that you touch him today. Help him to have a good day today.
Yes.
You know, and then I go on to the future. Mm-hmm. Bless our future marriage.
Yes.
You know, bless our future children. That's how I go about it. Yes, I pray. Present,
that's
future.
Exactly how I pray. Because, you know, I used to think, how specifically do I need to pray?
Right.
Just pray. For me, I just pray in general for his safety.
Yes, I do too.
Whatever he could be going through at this time, you know, help him in this time of mm-hmm. need, in his time of need. And obviously, I pray for my future, you know.
Right.
Now, I do want to say, we were talking about, you know, it's not when, but if God gives you a husband, that doesn't mean that you just don't pray for a future spouse. Because if right. God is giving you a future spouse, you want to know that you put all you had into it. Yes. You gave it all to God. So you prayed for him before, you pray for him when you're with him, and right. for the rest of your lives.
I also think you need to be super careful when praying for a future spouse. Because if you pray for a spouse every single day of your life, and what I'm trying to say is don't beg God mm-hmm. for a spouse. It's not okay. If you're just every day, God, I am so lonely, please bring me a husband, you know, that's begging God. And what's going to happen is over time, you're going to keep doing that. And it's not happening in your time. And it's going to cause some bitterness in your heart towards God. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be like, God, why have you not brought somebody to me? Yeah. And honestly, that could be what causes you to completely leave the church.
Yeah.
So you have to be very careful. Don't beg God, but say, you know what? In your timing, I'm believing it's going to happen. Just say yes. that every time you pray for your future spouse. Never beg God. Like, God, I need him by the end of this year. I don't know about you, but I do not like going through the holidays single sometimes. Yeah. It can be rough. I learned to get over it as mm-hmm. the years go by. But sometimes it can be tough when you're watching all these people be all cute and cuddly mm-hmm. around the campfire at Christmas time, or, you know,
we go Valentine's to like, Day, right, Thanksgiving. Yeah. Yeah.
And you're like, God, why have you not brought him along? Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's really not what matters at all. Mm-hmm. So be careful when you're praying. Don't beg God.
I'd say, you know, as a human, you get this itch sometimes, like, oh, I need this. I need right. it right now.
Yeah.
So even though we're telling you don't beg God, you know, even though Sister Sarah is saying don't beg God, you just have to have an understanding that you still pray for your spouse.
Yes.
Pray for him in the present, future, everything. Keep your eyes open. Keep the door open for potential.
Yes.
But allow it to be God's potential. Don't let it be yours. So allow yourself to go into the state of being elevated by God, not just you saying, I want a husband and I'm looking. And, mm-hmm. you know, I go to conferences, NYC, mm-hmm. you know, GMC, and I search for someone. I'm looking, but I'm not sitting there like, okay, which one am I going to choose? Okay, let me get his number. Let me talk to him. It's more of me saying, okay, God, I'm available. Mm-hmm. So if it's your timing, let it happen. If it's not,
yeah,
at least I was available to you.
Also, make yourself presentable. Like, mm-hmm. don't, because that's the place, if you're apostolic, that is the place to find a spouse, is yes. somewhere where there's a lot of other singles that are apostolic. So don't, if you're like looking for somebody and you're like, God, I don't understand why I haven't found my spouse, don't surround yourself with all these guys, because no guy is going to approach you
right.
with all these guys yes. around you,
yes.
or even all of like your girlfriends.
Yeah.
Like maybe having, you know, like one or two is fine.
Yeah.
But if you're really looking for somebody, kind of make yourself presentable, approachable. Now,
I will say at the last NYC, all of us girls, all the single girls in our church, we were like, we are going to find somebody this year.
Tonight's the night.
We like dressed up and we were all just like, and I'm just going to say it, we were all gorgeous. Like yeah, everybody course, just looked so beautiful and modest. And we all sat together and nobody sat by another guy. Like we were making sure every guy in our church knew, do not sit by me. We were making sure that young men knew, hey, these women are available.
We're flashing our left hand like there's no ring there's no ring
but that wasn't us being, you know, that wasn't us begging, that wasn't us putting ourselves out there too far. That's us saying, God, I'm available if it can happen.
Putting yourself out there too far would be like walking up to a group of guys and being like, all right, which one of you want to date me?
Yeah. Yeah. That's too far. And a lot of times that won't work out for you and you'll be sad. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
So young girl, don't do that, please.
No. Yeah.
Don't. But yeah, it's singleness, I think, for everyone is different. Mm-hmm. So it's not ever going to be the same for each person.
Right.
So the things that we've spoke about tonight, you know, it may not even touch your situation, but I just want each of you to know that, you know, you're not alone. If you feel alone, just know you're not.
Yes.
We're here. And also just go on my Instagram page and message me and say, yeah, hey, I need a girlfriend to hang out with. Right. And hey, I'm here for you, girl.
Yeah.
And if there's a guy out
there
that needs a guy friend, we have guys in our church that are willing to hang out. I mean, don't feel lonely.
Surround yourself with godly people. Yes, yes. That's the biggest, best thing you can do when you're feeling lonely is surround yourself with godly people.
Yes. So anyways, I think this has been a great talk tonight. Thank you, Sister Sarah, for coming on.
Thank you for asking me too.
And make sure you listen in next week to Beauty Within podcast.